If you could first of all please look in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia write, "These things saith the holy, the true, he that has the key of David, he who opens, and no one shall shut, and shuts, and no one shall open. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an opened door, which no one can shut." And then in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 10, page 1206, verse 17, "And as he went forth into the way, a person ran up to him, and kneeling to him, asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' But Jesus said to him, 'Why callest thou me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour thy father and mother.' And he answering said to him, 'Teacher, all these things have I kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said to him, 'One thing lackest thou. Go sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.'" And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, page 1153, verse 13, "Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide the gate, and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many are they who enter in through it. For narrow the gate, and straitened the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." And then finally, in Prophet Jeremiah, page 915, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, "Thus saith Jehovah, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, which is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." We are living still in the day of grace, when God, in all his holiness, is still propitious towards men. And this phrase came before me, verse 8 of Revelation chapter 3. "I have set before thee an opened door." You, dear hearer, are standing on the threshold of that opened door. God, in his love, is shining full upon your face. And the question is, which way are you going to turn as standing on the threshold of that door? Let me assure you that the Lord Jesus is not looking upon you to condemn you. Quite the opposite. He looks upon you with love. And that's why I read in Mark's Gospel, because that scripture never fails to affect me. And if you read it carefully, you will see that that man was desirous. He really wanted to be pleasing to his God and Father. He was one, no doubt, brought up in the Jewish faith. But he knew there was something missing. And as you stand at the doorway that I've referred to in Revelation, the Lord in his grace allows you to stand at the threshold of that door. He is the one that's opened it. He will be the one to shut it. This is the day of grace, when that door is opened. And I desire that you might come to know the one who stands there before you, the Saviour, the one in whom you can put your faith and trust. He loves you to the extent that he has died for you. Do you know anyone like that? One who is prepared to go into death that you might live? I know no one who loves me like that, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was prepared to go into death for me. Who am I? No one, just a worthless person. But through his grace, I've been made fit to stand before him. In all the perfection of himself. Think of the perfection of the Lord Jesus. He reflects all the fullness of the Godhead. And you have been made fit to stand before him in all his precious worth. You know, only the effects of the glad tidings can do that. Only coming to the feet of the Lord Jesus will enable you to know what it is to stand before a righteous, holy God without fear or without shame. You know, the filthy garments have to be removed. All that you are, naturally, the sins that pertain to you, the sins that pertain to me, you know, they cling to us. But through the efficacy of Christ's blood, they can be washed away and you can be made clean. Elsewhere in Scripture, I love to think about the woman who had a flux of blood. It says that she was made thoroughly well. Isn't it wonderful, having had an illness, to know what it is to be made thoroughly well? And so it is, if you have sin upon you, what it is to know that the burden of your sin has been washed away. How? By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing else will do it. Nothing at all. You might feel that good works might help in some respect. I can tell you that they won't. Not in any way, shape or form will good works get you into heaven. Irrespective of what you might have been taught in the past, good works will never bring you salvation. They'll never bring you peace. They'll never bring you joy. You might get some satisfaction in the doing of them. But think of the one who has laboured. Think of the one who has been into death. Think of the one who has broken the power of Satan. He is the one that has laboured, that you might not have to. He is the one that has made your peace and my peace with a righteous, holy God. These are the things that matter today. Talking in the break of all that goes on in the world today. And no matter where you look, it's a mess. No one has the answer anymore. No one has the gravitas to state what should be done and what shouldn't. And you know, God sees all these things. And he realizes, just the same as you and I, if you're sober thinking, that the world in which we know and live cannot continue in the way that it does. It needs a man to come and sort things out. And a man will arise. Oh yes, a man will arise. He'd be the man of sin. He'll have the answers. And he'll have a following. And everything will seem to be on an even keel for a short time. But then the time of reckoning will come. And then the Lord Jesus himself will come into view, the one who really can put things as they should be. The one who will be able to answer to God himself. You cannot answer to God. I cannot answer to God. But I know one who can. And one who will. And one who has done all God's holy will in complete and utter perfection. And he is the one that I present to you today as the Saviour of sinners. The one who can bring in salvation. The one who delights to save. Think of that. He delights to save. It's not irksome for Jesus to save you. Judgment is his strange work. Judgment will have to come in. But now is the day when he is propitious towards you in grace. He's propitious towards you in love. He desires your blessing. He delights to pour out blessings upon those who come into his presence. Well, these verses that I've read, we'll just touch on Mark again. I don't know whether this man was aware of the love that Jesus had for him. Doesn't say, but it says that Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. How wonderful it is, you know, that Jesus, looking upon you and looking upon me, he loves us. I know, I haven't been lovable all my life. Perhaps I'm still not very lovable. But the Lord Jesus loves me. And he loves you. And no matter, he's desirous that you might love him. That's why we speak about the greatness of Christ's love. He loves you and he desires that you may love him. Think of that. That reciprocal affection that you, as saved, as a saved person, brought into the knowledge of salvation, you can return something of Christ's love. What was being offered to this man was something that he didn't actually have. He had plenty of the riches of this world's goods, but he didn't have treasure in heaven. You think that's important? Treasure in heaven? Tell you. Nothing can alter the value of treasure in heaven. The value of the things of this world fluctuate. They go up, they go down. They're eroded by things as inflation and all the other economic difficulties that beset the world. But treasure in heaven never alters. It never devalues. The greatness of it is because there's a standard that heaven has, and that standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say the gold standard, most certainly the gold standard, Jesus Christ. We said in our reading the same yesterday, today, and to the ages to come. How thankful we have someone like that, you know. Isaiah says, chapter 33, verse 6, and he shall be the stability of thy times, the riches of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of Jehovah shall be your treasure. And so that's what the Lord Jesus was offering this man. He says, one thing lackest thou. Oh, what grace. Only one? One thing lackest thou. Well, maybe it's only one for you. Many more than that for me. But he says, go sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. How wonderful it is to receive that invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Come, follow me. Well, moving on, but thinking still about that door that is open to you. It speaks here in Matthew of the broad way, and it speaks of the straitened way. Might be that doorway that is open to you. It may be a turn to the left, or it may be a turn to the right. I would desire that God, in his love to you, and in his desire for your blessing, that you may find this narrow gate and the straitened way. Doesn't sound particularly attractive, does it? You may think it doesn't. But it says that that way leads to life. That's the important thing. It's not how it appears at first glance. Because everyone else is on that broad way. Many are they who enter in through the wide gate. It's easy to go along with the flow of persons going through that wide gate. You just get swept along. No thought for eternity. But now is the time just to consider where you stand, the threshold of that door. And I desire that each one here may find that narrow gate and that straitened way. A way, perhaps, of reproach. Because no matter where you read in Scripture, the Lord's words to us are always the same. Take up your cross and follow me. It's not going to be a pathway of unremitting joy. It's a pathway of reproach. It's a pathway that entails the taking up of the cross. You think that is hard? Yes, it is hard. But then the Lord Jesus himself, he bore the cross. He bore the shame and the agony of that cross. He was even made to carry it before he was crucified upon it. Think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the one who holds your breath in his hands, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who stood before Pilate, the one who is in his authority and his power, opened not his mouth to the words of Pilate, the accusations that were hurled against him. No, he didn't open his mouth. He had no need to open his mouth to a mere man, because of who he was, the Son of God. Just briefly in Jeremiah, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths. Again, that's something that perhaps doesn't necessarily appeal to the young. A lot of us like things that are new. Something different. But this scripture tells us we're to ask for the ancient paths. You might say a path that has been well trodden, but nonetheless, it's a straitened way. It's not the most attractive at first glance, but it is the way that we're exhorted to walk, because it says, ye shall find rest for your souls. And I can tell you that rest for your souls will only be found in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we can bless his holy name, because he has done everything for me. Everything that I could not do, the Lord Jesus Christ has done. How thankful we are, you know, for one such as that. I know he loves me because he's done all the work. He's even been into death for me, that I may not have to taste the bitterness of it. Psalmist could say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Think of that. The Lord Jesus has been there. He's taken the bitterness of it away. And now is the time to make that decision. I don't know how long this day of grace will last. It may come to an end very soon. The Lord himself may come, it says, with an assembling shout. Will you hear his voice? Only those that know what salvation is will hear his voice. Only those. To everyone else, just be silence, just be the noise of every day. But to those that are ready, to those that are saved, you'll hear that voice. How wonderful it is. May we just encourage ourselves with the knowledge that we stand before an open door and the greatness of Christ's love is shining upon us. May we prove it for his name's sake.